This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:05, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank, with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies, call 618-372-7077. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. And by Kurt's 24-hour towing and machine shop in Litchfield. Here are the guys. It's Tim Mize and Randy Prangy.
All right, Tobinot, thank you very much, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday. We have a special in-studio guest today, Tom Cooper. He is in town for the Litchfield Homecoming Celebration. Of course, Tom also played football for Mizzou back in the 70s, so we'll be talking to Tom Cooper throughout the hour here on Sports Saturday. But we want to begin, as we do every week, with the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, Mr. Chad Easterday, joins us now. And, Coach, another nice win for your club last night.
Well, I thank you guys for putting me first all the time. That way I can make it to JFL. So, yeah, it was a good win last night.
Hillsboro, always a difficult place to play, no matter what the Toppers' record may be. It's always tough to go into Hillsboro.
Yeah, you know, I think they're a team that's been up and down, and injury has definitely plagued some parts of their season. But, you know, they're always very, very competitive. They always play very hard. And then they were not short of that last night. I thought conditions last night were almost like it was week two. I tell you what, the ball was slippery and muddy, and, you know, it was one of those nights for football.
And when you get those types of conditions, the run game is not a guarantee, as you mentioned, with that slick football. Did you guys hold on to it last night?
Yeah, we only turned it over once. I think there was actually only one turnover in the entire game, and we had it. So, you know, we did our freshman game before, like a few nights in the South Central. So that played a little role in it, not a lot, but you know, it was a lot muddier than we had anticipated, and you know, we ended up coming out on top, and our run game did end up in the end to be the difference in the ballgame.
Well, Chad, you guys are now 6-1 on the year. You still control your own destiny. So what are you looking for out of your kids here the last 2 weeks?
You know, I think we talked about just staying focused. You know, this week's always the big hype week. The last 2 weeks on who's predicting playoffs and where you're going to be and all that stuff. And we try to concentrate on the things that we can control, and that's making sure that we end up 8-1, and we don't want to be putting ourselves in the somewhere else. And plus, we still don't have a conference title outright, and we really, really want that, and that's part of our goal and has been since I've been the head football coach there, my personal goal and part of our goal of our team. We've always had either a share. We've never had it outright.
Coach, last night I noticed the defense really stepped up. The Toppers had you on the goal line a couple times, and the defense could have broke, and the Toppers could have scored, but they held it together, and they kept them off the board.
Yeah, you know, I think that was a huge step toward the end of the season here. You know, we had been giving up some yardage, not necessarily a ton of points, but our goal was to tackle, and Hillsboro definitely has an offense that has to be done, and was very proud of our inside linebackers, Tucker Clinton, Thad Roberts. Our defensive line, I thought, played tremendous last night. And, you know, Brennan and Corey, they're going to find ways to get yards, and they did that last night.
Coach, we talked to you, of course, after you lost that game to Payne on your home field, and we wondered if maybe that would wind up being a blessing in disguise for your squad, maybe get some of that laser focus back, and I guess that's kind of turned out to be the case.
Yeah, you know, how you know what a 16-year-old's thinking? I don't know. That's what I tell them every day. But, you know, I think it did. It was a little, you know, maybe coming down to earth party for us, and hopefully that will show up week 10 when we talk that, you know, maybe that loss was a good thing for us and not necessarily a roadblock, but just a stepping stone. But, you know, the kids are staying focused, and, you know, we're making progress in terms of assignment football. I thought we did a really good job last night in terms of that, and those are key things as you move toward the end of the season when you start to break down film and talk about those types of things.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, joining us here on WSMI Sports Saturday. And, Coach, you mentioned how winning the South Central Conference is still obviously the number one goal. The Comets have kind of had a stranglehold on the conference title the last 5 to 6 years. But we've seen in the postseason in years past where if you finish 7-2, you might wind up on the road in week one.
Well, I tell you what, guys on my coaching staff, they dabble in all that stuff. I never dabble in that. And I'm a science guy. And I mean, to me, the IHSA is going to do what they want. And, you know, we're not going to sit here and bash the IHSA at all. But, you know, one year we went quads, one year we went half, you know, and then now with your close conferences and your 5-4s getting in, you know, whether you like that or don't, I personally do like that. But then all of a sudden you run out of teams that are quote-unquote when you start putting them in brackets. You guys do this stuff too. So a 7-2 definitely could be playing an 8-1 and be on the road. So, you know, it is key going down the stretch to either, one, win your conference outright because then you get a little bit higher seat, have some more playoff points, and those types of things. So, you know, those are our goals.
Jack, congratulations on the win last night. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, joining us here on WSMI Sports Saturday. And joining us in studio is Tom Cooper, a Litchfield graduate, played football at Mizzou in the 70s. And Tom, you're back for the homecoming festivities. And Mother Nature hasn't exactly cooperated. It wasn't an ideal night or an ideal day yesterday to celebrate homecoming at Litchfield. But just kind of your thoughts about being back in town here for the festivities.
Well, It's nice to be here, Tim, and thanks for having me today. Really appreciate it. It's always nice to talk a little sports on a Saturday morning. You know, it's nice to be back. I haven't had the opportunity to come back a lot. It was nice to get over to the high school and see some of the new buildings and new facilities and the way they've made things nice over there. And you're right, it was a little cold and a little rainy. Made it tough, but it's nice to be back and to see all the new things that have been put in place. It looks really good.
What were some of the, when you walked onto the campus, what was the first thing that caught your eye? Like, whoa, that's different.
You know, obviously the school building has changed. The old building is gone, and it had been there for years and years. So that catches your eye, and they've built a new locker room, weight room facility, which I think is just wonderful over there, that the kids get the opportunity to work in the summers and do the things that they need. And then the concrete work around the bleachers at the stadium. Those were the things that really caught my eye. That, and it looks like there's a little new situation going on where they bring their trucks and trailers over on Jefferson Street and park and have a little tailgating there at the high school games. I thought that was quite interesting.
And it is amazing how the tailgating has spread not only from pro and college, but now down to the high school level, where you go around the area, you'll see a lot of the fans tailgating before the games. And you're a high school coach out in Colorado, and is that the situation out there too? Do you get the tailgates before your games?
You know, I have seen them do that. They're in the parking lots. Obviously, it's different than at the colleges and the professional level, but the people enjoy coming and you know, like to celebrate a little bit before the games and enjoy it and make a whole evening out of it. So it's great.
And Tom, if you could maybe just give the folks from the area maybe a little update on what you've been up to since you graduated from Mizzou back in the day.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
It only seems like.
Well, you know, after I left school, I went to work for Anheuser-Busch for years and worked in several different places. I started in St. Louis and lived in Syracuse, New York for 5 years. Moved to Colorado after that, and then actually went out and spent 5 years out in the Williamsburg, Virginia area and have lived in Colorado now since 1995. And all my kids went to high school in Fort Collins, and I started coaching at the high school 14 years ago, and been volunteering and coaching at the high school there in Fort Collins for the last 14 years. Doesn't seem like it's been that long, but time flies. And I retired 3 years ago, so I coach football and play golf.
How old are your kids, and what are they doing?
My oldest son is 30. Well, he'll be 30 in November, and he runs a nutrition, Max Muscle Nutrition store in Fort Collins. He and his wife have a beautiful daughter, Addison, and she's 2. And so I get to spend a lot of time with her now, too, and that's wonderful. And my 2 younger sons both live in Norman, Oklahoma. My youngest son played at Oklahoma, and he's now a student coach there as he's finishing up. He was, after he left Oklahoma in 2009, he went and played with the Vikings for two years in a game, I guess. He, last year he got cut after the first week, and this year had an opportunity to play with Tennessee, but Oklahoma offered him a coaching job, and he said, you know what, I think I'm just going to move on.
What position did he play?
He was a center. Yeah. Played center.
Had to be maybe a surreal experience for you to watch your son play in the National Football League.
It was. It really was. Sometimes you stand back, and when you get close to it, you find out how different it really is. When you watch it on TV, it seems like it's just football, but when you're close to it and you know people that are involved in it, you find out what a business the National Football League really is. From the way the players and the coaches and the management work with each other to the fact that, you know, they show up to work at 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning, they go home at 5 and they do their thing, and it's a lot different than going to practice and going to class and having to study at the college level. And I think that's why a lot of the coaching changes when they try to go from college to pros, or especially from the pros back to college, that some of the guys seem to struggle a little bit, because it's hard to take the professional mentality down to the 18 and 20 year old kids that only get to spend 3 hours a day working at it.
Tom Cooper joining us here on WSMI Sports Saturday. He will be with us for the entire hour this morning. We do need a break. Sports Saturday rolls on following these messages.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing and machine shop now has a heavy-duty tow truck and can tow your semis. They have a crew cab rollback to transport your car and your family, and they can pick up your motorcycle. There is nothing they can't tow. When you need a tow, remember Kurt's 24-hour towing and machine shop in Litchfield. 324-2400. That's 324-2400.
Is your home moving without you? You don't need a realtor. You need the foundation repair experts at Midwest Basement Technologies. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years, correcting bowed or cracked walls, settlement problems, or wet and leaky basements and crawl spaces. If you live in Central or Southern Illinois, they service you. Call 1-800-848-9805 for your local service tech, or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com. For money saving coupons, that's MidwestBasementTech.com. Remember, foundation problems won't go away. Protect your investment.
And at 9:18, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Partly cloudy skies for today. Expect a high near 50. Becoming cloudy for tonight, we'll have a low of around 35 degrees. Heading into Sunday, sunny skies. Expect a high once again of around 55 degrees. At 9:18, we have a temperature reading of 41 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues in just a moment.
Join WSMI's Terry Toad as he'll be broadcasting live at the new Goodwill store in Litchfield, where Fashion Bug used to be. Stop in and see him. Look around and say hi.
How come nobody gives me a financial plan I can understand?
How come nobody told me about the hidden costs of cheap insurance?
How come insurance companies tell me I can save 40% before they even know what I need?
How come nobody's asked me my idea of financial security?
Country Financial does. Contrary to popular belief, there is a place where you can find everything you need for financial security under one roof. At Country Financial, we use our wide variety of tools, from auto and life insurance to retirement and education funding, to create a tangible plan that helps prepare you for tomorrow and protect you for today.
How come I have so many questions? I don't know where to get started.
That part's simple. Start finding the answers to your questions by scheduling an appointment with a Country Financial representative today. How come you haven't called on Country and started planning yet? At Country, we always ask, what's your idea of financial security?
And at 9:20, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize and Randy Prangy.
All right, Tobinot, thank you very much. Welcome back to Sports Saturday. We're talking with Tom Cooper. He's in our WSMI studios this morning. Litchfield alum, played football at Mizzou back in the 70s, coached high school football out in Colorado for 14 years. And Tom, we were just talking before we came back here about the differences between high school football in Illinois and in Colorado. Maybe if you could, for our listeners, just talk about high school football in Colorado and how it works.
Well, in Colorado, we have five classes of 11-man, 1 through 5, And there's also a 8-man and a 6-man classification. Some of the smaller schools, especially out in the Eastern Plains, are small enrollments. And the four large high schools in Fort Collins are all 5A. And we now play a 9-game season, and 32 teams make the playoffs. And it ends up being a 32-team playoff, and they have a point system. And you get so many points for a win versus, depending on the team you beat, what their record is, and it's all laid out. So as you get near the end of the season, you can start adding up your points and figure out what the rankings are. But based on your points, you're seeded 1 through 32, and then they play through the seedings. And we also play into Thanksgiving weekend is when the championship game, and they play the 4A and 5A championship at Mile High Stadium in Denver.
And with the conference that Fort Collins is in, is it work out to where you get a certain number of non-conference games? Because like in the South Central, every game is a conference game.
This year we played we only have six teams in our conference, so we play five conference games and four non-conference games this year. It's changed a lot, the school sizing. All of our classifications are done by school size, and been a lot of new schools in the last 5 to 10 years in the Denver and Northern Colorado area. So there's been a lot of changes. There used to be only 35 teams in 5A, and I think there's 52 now. So it's evolving. So the 1 year we had 10 teams in our conference.
And it's such a beautiful part of the country out there in Colorado. Are they passionate about their high school football?
You know, I'm going to tell you that it's not, certainly isn't like Texas or Georgia or
right.
Florida. I think there's a certain level of it, but I wouldn't say it's a real big passion like some other parts of the country.
Tom Cooper joining us here on Sports Saturday.
You've had a lot of good football players that you've coached, haven't you?
There's been several. I've been fortunate enough to have some kids that have gone on and played and done some good things.
Have they played Division I?
Yeah. Starting with my son that played, some kids that played with him had a tight end by the name of Derek Catlett that played at Iowa State, and we had an offensive tackle, Ian Wolf, that played at KU, and then a few other guys that played at at Northern Colorado, which is real close to where we are. We've had two or three kids that have played there at Colorado State, which is in Fort Collins, and we've got a couple this year we think are going to move along, and several kids that have played at some of the Division II schools, you know, in our area and around the country.
Have you been in contact with the folks at Missouri that you come across a good football player? Do you contact them and say, hey, keep an eye on this kid?
Well, a little. It probably severed some of those relations when they came out to recruit my son John, and he didn't go there.
Well,
and it got really hard when Oklahoma beat him twice in the Big 12 championship game, and it was very surreal for me to be there and have to actually root against Missouri. But you know what they say, blood's thicker than water.
That's right. Well, yeah. How you coached your son in high school then?
I did.
What was that like?
You know, it was interesting because I had probably a bad habit, at least according to him and to his mother, of setting expectations for him that weren't necessarily the same as for everybody else. But we would spend a lot of time watching film together, and home became the field, and field became home. And sometimes we had a hard time separating that.
It's interesting that you say that, because this year we've got a couple of coaches, Greenville and Carlinville, whose kids are the starting quarterbacks for the first time this year. And we've talked about it before, but a lot of times I think the perception is maybe with fans that if the coach's kid is on the team and playing, that somehow they've got it easier, that they're maybe, you know, getting some advantages that the rest of the team isn't getting. But in reality, it works the exact opposite, because, like you said, home is field, field is home. So there's really no off time, if you will, when you're playing for your father.
Yeah, I would say most coaches that I know would probably end up setting the bar higher and making things for their own kids, so the perceptions of favoritism mm-hmm. are not there. And it's, you know, it can be hard. I think coaching your own son, especially depending on where they are in the pecking order of things, could be very difficult. It wasn't hard for me with mm-hmm. John. I mean, his level of play was pretty high for high school, and so it was easy. It was only hard to keep his head on him straight sometimes.
It may be harder to steer him towards Oklahoma and away from Mizzou. I imagine that was his decision. That's where he wanted to go. He probably asked for your advice.
Yeah, it was absolutely his decision. And when he went through that process, we spent a lot of time, you know, looking at the different schools and talking about it and who was doing what. And, you know, at the time, it didn't seem like Missouri really was on track to do the right things. And certainly, I'm glad to say that they've turned things around and are doing a great job there now.
And I would imagine as a high school kid, if Oklahoma comes a-calling, it's hard to say no to the history of Oklahoma.
You know, it is. And unfortunately for me, I had to be part of that too. Back in the mid-70s, they were real good when the Selman boys and Joe Washington and some of them were there. And they've got a lot of history, a lot of tradition. It's a wonderful university. I've certainly enjoyed going there and being part of that. And the game days in Norman, Oklahoma are special.
Let's talk a little bit about your college playing career, coming from Litchfield High School all the way to the University of Missouri. You played in 73, 74, and 75, and you were saying back then freshmen weren't even allowed to play.
Right. When I was a freshman there in 1972, it was the very first year that the NCAA allowed freshmen to play at the varsity level. And we actually had a freshman team and played four games and practiced separately from the varsity, but there were a lot more players on the team than there are. I think the scholarship limit at Division I now is 85, and back in the 70s it was 120. So if you, for those that are my age and older, remember back in those days, there were a lot fewer better teams than there are now. There was a lot of 42 and 63-0 games.
Now you have they divvy it up into the top 20, 25 in the polls, and then it was just 10.
Right. Oh, yeah. And
your freshman team that you played on, did you play pretty much the same schools that the varsity squad would play?
Yeah, we played schools that were, in those days, Big Eight. We played Kansas State, Nebraska, and Iowa State. So they were close. We bussed to the games, and we played on the Friday before the varsity games.
Now, if you were, say, on the road, say, to Ames, Iowa, to play Iowa State on a freshman game Friday night, would you stay over if Missouri was playing there the next day?
Yeah, that's exactly what we did. If when we went to Iowa State as freshmen, we played Friday, stayed for the varsity game the next day, and then would leave and go back home.
What was it like, that first practice at Mizzou? Obviously, you come from Litchfield, big star, you go to Missouri. That first day on the practice field, you look around, obviously, the speed is there, the talent is there. What was going through your mind as basically an 18-year-old kid standing out there?
You know, I think the very first thing was, holy cow, these guys are good.
Did you ever think, I might be in over my head here?
You know, I'm gonna be real honest, and I'm going to tell you no, yeah. Because one of the things that I think has always helped me was that I always had confidence. And I knew where my level was, and believed that you could work your way into things, and that effort was the thing that I always had control of. You know, you can't control how big you are. You can't really necessarily control how fast you are, but you can control your effort and how hard you play. And I had an opportunity to talk with the Litchfield team last night, and it was kind of the message that I tried to send to them, that the thing that you have control of when you walk on that field is how much effort you put into it.
And no matter the sport, confidence for an athlete, it's so important.
It's absolutely important. And I know my son has talked to me about that. He told me one day, he said, Dad, you wouldn't believe how good some of these players down at Oklahoma are. He says, but they don't believe in themselves. And he says, they come to practice and their confidence isn't there, and they never get on the field, and they're just unbelievable athletes.
Well, that's coaching, I would think, to instill in some of those young people the confidence that they need to step up to the next level.
You know, I think there's a lot to that, but I also believe it's some self-driven things. You have to convince them. You have to convince them. That's right. The heart muscle is the big one.
And is that something? Obviously, played Division I football. You coached for a long time, so I mean, I think you're qualified to answer this question. Can you teach someone to have heart? Or is that one of those things, either you have it or you don't?
You know, I don't necessarily believe you either have it or you don't, but I don't believe you can teach it. I think you can encourage it. I think you can demonstrate the need for it, and I think you can make it a focus. At Fort Collins High School, we have our saying and our sign above the door that says AOEP, and it's all out every play. And I mean, it's one of the things that the kids touch the sign every day as they walk in and out of the locker room, and we constantly preach AOEP, AOEP. And so I think it's a state of mind.
You never know when a big play is going to come up in a game, and your all-out effort will make the difference.
Right, and it has to start in the weight room, has to continue on the practice field, because if you don't do it in the weight room and you don't do it on the practice field, it won't just come to you on game day.
How is the pressure for a football player different? Because unlike baseball or basketball, where you have, you know, 2 to 4 games a week, football, you got one shot every week, and other than that, like you said, it's the weight room, it's the practice field. So the mentality for a football player may be a little different than other athletes.
Well, I think it's preparation time, because you spend more preparation time, and part of the preparation time is recovery time. You know, if and when you do play and you play hard every single play, it takes a few days for your body to get back to where you can go and do it again. So it's a lot of more preparation time. You spend more time working on the opponent, where in a baseball or a basketball game, I believe you spend more time working on what you do, not so much, you know, what's my strategy against this opponent.
Tom Cooper joining us in studio, Litchfield graduate, former Mizzou football player as well. He'll be with us throughout the hour here on Sports Saturday. We're going to talk now with the head coach of the Nokomis Redskins, Gabe Cesaretti, good enough to give us a few minutes of his time. And Gabe, after a crushing loss last week, last night is exactly what the doctor ordered.
Yeah, it was. Kids took their loss in stride last week, and you know, we knew we played a real good ball game and got right back to work and got the job done this week.
What was your week of practice like leading up to this game?
It was, you know, we'll prepare little things, you know, just we want to make sure we blocked well and tackled well, work on just the basics. You know, we're heading towards the playoff run. We wanted to work on a lot of basic stuff this week.
In a game like that last night, obviously the outcome was never really in question. I believe you were up 65-0 at the half. Is that one of those games where in the second half you're worried maybe not only about staying healthy, but maybe not forming some bad habits?
Yeah, we were. And you worry about, you want to get everybody in, play some, but yet, you know, on the other hand, too, you want to make sure that your kids are staying in shape, because, you know, we got some, you know, tough games ahead in the playoffs, of course. So, you know, keeping in shape and keeping healthy was the main focus.
And as you look at your squad now through 7 weeks of football, Gabe, just kind of your overall thoughts, you have to be very pleased what's happened so far.
Yeah, I mean, and just these kids' attitudes all year has just been, you know, dead on. Everything you've asked of them, they've done it and done it well. And, you know, it's just a great bunch of kids and the coaches, and we've had a fun time this year.
As you look at the last 2 weeks, what will you be looking for, not only in practice leading up to the games, but in these last two ball games heading into the playoffs?
We'll be, you know, working some stuff we want to use possibly in the playoffs, and but we definitely going to take it week by week, just like we always have. We got Decatur LSA this week, and you know, we beat them earlier in the year, but we know they're improved, and you know, they're going to play us hard, so we definitely don't want to overlook anybody. And Kincaid's always a good matchup, and they, you know, they play us hard many years. So we know we got a couple ball games to take care of first, and we'll go from there.
So this is the week where you play the opponents you already played earlier this year, and that's not a normal course of action for high school football to get the same team twice. So I would imagine that you'll look at the film from the first game, but as you mentioned, that game in football terms was a long time ago.
Sure. I mean, that was week two, so I mean, a lot of things have changed. They had a couple of injuries in that week. They got a couple guys back that we didn't see, and you just kind of of course we'll look at that week two film, but you kind of take it just like you do any other week, and you know, that's long gone, and just prepare just like you haven't seen them yet, and get ready to win.
Gabe, a game like you guys had against Alta Marquette last week, where Marquette scores basically on the final play of regulation to knock you guys off for your first loss. What was the mood of your team through this week of practice?
They took it hard, especially over the weekend last week. But and I've said this many times this year, this group of seniors is so focused, and our juniors and sophomores right behind them are, follow their lead. By Monday, I mean, you could tell it still hurt a little bit, but I mean, they were ready to practice, and like I said, it all starts with attitude up top, and these guys have done a fantastic job.
Absolutely. Gabe, congratulations on a nice win last night, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Gabe Cesaretti, the head coach of the Nokomis Redskins, as they put up 65 in the first half. And Tom Cooper joining us in our WSMI studios, Litchfield alum, Mizzou alum. And Coach, I would imagine you've had some games like that over a year, maybe on both sides of the score there.
Yeah. you try not to think about the lopsided ones against you, but certainly there's been some of those through the years, and all things you have to work past them all.
Well, yeah, and you probably don't put too much time and effort worrying about the other way either, do you?
No, if you have a blowout win, you just have to move on. You sit back and you say, here's the things we did right, but let's not get in too deep and understand that. That things will change.
In Colorado, do you have a continuous clock in such cases like they do here?
Yeah, I believe it's if you're up by 40, the clock runs continuously, and you can't.
No matter where in the ball game.
Second half.
Okay.
Second half.
I think it's the second
same
way
here. Yeah.
Second half. I don't think I've ever been up by 40 in the first half.
You know, something else I wanted to ask you about. Referring back to our first segment, what sort of emphasis do you put on nutrition for your players?
You know, it's hard at the high school level to do a lot, but what we try to do is educate them. Our coaching staff is real good, especially the guys that teach in the building. They're real good at getting information around, and we're fortunate in the community we live in. We have a lot of availability of places where we can do things, but the message I give the kids is they need to eat right. Eat the right kind of foods. You can do all the nutrition supplements in the world, and a lot of them are great things, but there's nothing for a young person that's better than eating the right kind of foods. You need to eat a good balanced meal, get the right things, and it's no big secret.
Now, when you were playing, obviously those things were still important. Were they emphasized as much in the 70s as it is today?
No, but there wasn't anywhere near the emphasis on it. I mean, quite honestly, it was, let's go have a steak and a baked potato, right, and move on. That was kind of the thing. You know, it's how big of a steak can you eat and how big is the potato?
I was reading recently about a quote from Joe Namath when he played in Super Bowl III. About, their pregame meal will be like breakfast, a light breakfast, maybe just toast. And he asked himself later, you start a game and it gets to be 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you had nothing in the tank. And that's why I ask about the nutrition. That's really important.
Yeah, it's extremely important. And probably the biggest thing that we preach to our kids is hydration. And the hydration piece, it doesn't start an hour before the game. You have to get your body hydrated. Really all the time, but certainly a whole day before. And in the early games when it's hot, you have to keep that hydration level adequate at all times.
And in your early, when does your season start?
We start practice, I believe it was August 10th this year.
It still gets pretty hot out there.
We have 2 or 3 weeks where it's pretty hot. You know, we're fortunate in the evenings and the games that it cools off for us. It's not as hot probably as it is here in August.
Tom Cooper joining us here on Sports Saturday, and obviously one of the big issues in the conversation of football the last few years has become concussions. Obviously a very serious issue. It's a hard problem because it's not like an ankle sprain or a knee sprain where a lot of times you can see something visibly wrong. And I'm just curious, Tom, to get your thoughts on just from when you were playing to now, just all the talk about concussions. I mean, back when you were playing, I imagine it was just rub some dirt on it and get back in there.
It's changed a lot, and for the good.
Yeah.
We spend a lot of time, and there's a lot of money spent. If you look at the amount of money that just high schools spend on their helmets, getting new helmets, refurbishing, keeping them up to date, I believe our coach told us this year that that his refurbishing new helmet bill was $16,000 just for helmets this year. But it's a good thing. And when you look at the kids and you see in their eyes, that's the hard thing with concussions. You're right. If you've got a sprained ankle, you know. Concussions are hard. And back in our day, you called it getting dinged, and then you mm-hmm. shook your head and
away you went
and kept playing. And probably not a good thing.
You know, one thing I think that might have helped you when you were in high school, I just thought of this, is had you had one of the major helmet manufacturers right here in town.
Well, yeah. I mean, Schutt has been here for a long time, and I don't think they were making helmets in those days, though. I think they were still just making face masks, if I remember correctly. They went into the helmet business maybe only 25 years ago.
And I've often wondered this, and maybe you can speak to this. Maybe I'm way off base, but you get into the NFL, you get players that are launching themselves. They're so padded up with the helmets these days. I wonder if they took the face mask off the helmet and you just had the hard shell, would that be a situation that maybe would stop these defensive players from leading with their heads like they do? Because it's become very dangerous.
It has become very dangerous. And I think the big things are how big and how fast mm-hmm. these guys are. I don't think there's any question that today's game is played at a much different pace than it used to be. And speed is the key thing. You've got... I mean, you look at a guy like Julius Peppers. He's 300 pounds, and he runs like a deer.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you can even compare that to anything else.
You know, with some of these players today, even if they don't have a face mask on at all, I don't think it's going to slow them down.
It may not slow them down, but I wonder if it would change their angle on the tackle at all. I don't know.
Well, it would for some, but you have to realize that. When you get to that level, especially at the NFL level, all these guys are great players. Mm-hmm. And they delineate themselves by how much effort and what they do to stand out. And the other thing is there's a significant amount of money at stake for all these fellas. So I'm not thinking it's going to slow them down all that much. Going to be more broken noses.
Yeah.
and there won't be such bone-jarring hits. But it would just transfer the issue someplace else.
Were you, when your son was playing professional football and you were, say for instance, on the sidelines watching him, did you ever really worry about him getting hurt?
You know, I can tell you that I never really worried about it. He had one serious injury when he was a freshman. They were in Lubbock, Texas, playing Texas Tech. And he dislocated his ankle and broke his leg. And it was pretty severe. And it was in the end zone right in front of where we were sitting. So there was a little consternation that day. But, you know, you just can't, as an ex-player and thing, you can't worry about it. If you start worrying about it, it'll drive you crazy.
What is the attitude of your wife toward this?
Well, she's been with me and three sons for it's been 30 years now, so she's kind of gotten hardened to it. At first, she just didn't understand what all this thing was about football. She didn't come from that. But through the years, she's hardened quite a bit.
Tom, what would you say to maybe a parent who's listening out there who's got a kid who maybe is old enough to starting to get into JFL? Maybe they're concerned about football and just the physical nature. Is that something, obviously it's a legitimate concern, but your kids all played football, you played football. Would you encourage parents to keep their kids out of football because of the danger, or not necessarily?
No, not necessarily. I wouldn't keep them from driving a car either.
Right.
You know,
and that's probably just as dangerous.
Well, there certainly are a lot more people killed driving cars. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I don't want to take that lightly, because I think a lot of the things, and one of the good pieces is the education level of younger junior league football coaches and things, that there's a lot of organizations and things that are getting the right messages down of proper ways to teach. There are proper ways to teach and there are improper ways to teach. And the good part about especially young kids is they're not as big and they're not as fast and they're not as violent. So you really don't see a lot of injuries at the youth level. As they start getting into high school and their body size gets bigger and faster, then there are more. But it's like I said, it's just you kind of have to go with it. And to me, football is the greatest game in the world because it's such a life teacher.
Absolutely. And with the NFL trying to change the way that hits are made now, it's a noble effort, but I wonder if that's something that needs to be done more from the bottom up than the top down, to where if it's taught one way at JFL and then all the way through high school, by the time these kids get to the NFL that the thought of launching isn't even in their thought process.
Yeah, I agree with that in principle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and certainly you have to teach it right from the beginning. But there's so much at stake when you get to the professional level that it's just like everything else. When you look at the race car drivers and why do they have accidents? Because they take chances. Mm-hmm. They take risks. Those guys are good enough. They could all drive those cars and never run into each other. So it's a risk-reward deal, I'm afraid, that really drives what it is. At least that's my opinion.
No, that sounds right. That's a very good analogy that you just made right there. Tom Cooper joining us on Sports Saturday. We need another break. We're back with more following these messages.
Hi, this is Rita Frazier inviting you to join us here on WSMI for a special broadcast from the 2012 National FFA Convention. It's coming up later this month, October 24th through the 27th. We'll be talking to local FFA members, advisors, guests, and parents who are attending representing this area, the local WSMI listing area. WSMI continues the tradition of commitment to agriculture and FFA.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond. It's fall, and with harvest comes the delicious tastes of autumn, like pumpkin pie. And who said your milk can't taste like pumpkin spice, too? It certainly wasn't farmer-owned Prairie Farms, because now available in your grocer's dairy case is pumpkin pie spice milk. Grab a quart when you're on the go for a quick, sweet taste of fall. Prairie Farms pumpkin pie spice milk, now available at your local grocer. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Join WSMI's Terry Toad as he'll be broadcasting live at the new Goodwill store in Litchfield, where Fashion Bug used to be. Stop in and see him, look around, and say hi.
And at 9:47, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Partly cloudy skies for today. Expect highs in the low 50s. Becoming cloudy for tonight. Expect a low of around 35 degrees. Heading into Sunday, sunny skies. We'll have highs around 55. Extended look at the forecast. Columbus Day through Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies. Slight chance for some rain on Tuesday. Expect highs in the low 60s. The lows will be in the mid 40s. Right now at 9:48, we have a temperature reading of 43 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues in just a moment.
I'm Brad Gillespie, and like you, I understand the responsibility that comes with gun ownership. Illinois is the only state without a way for law-abiding gun owners to carry a concealed firearm. We've repeatedly been denied that right by Chicago politicians, and those politicians don't understand our region or the values we share. As your state representative, I'll take on the Chicago politicians to pass legislation allowing law-abiding gun owners to carry a concealed weapon.
Paid for by citizens for Brad Gillespie.
If you're a farmer or an agribusiness, it's good to bank with people you know and trust. Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President, Senior Loan Officer at Security National Bank. I specialize in ag lending, and Security National Bank's ag lending staff is experienced and ready to serve all your farming needs. We offer competitive rates. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with 4 locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Since 1899, 4 generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
And at 9:50, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize and Randy Prangy.
Tobinot, thank you very much. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, Tom Cooper joining us in studios. Played and graduated from Litchfield High School, went on to Mizzou to play for 3 years for the Tigers. And Tom, let's talk a little bit about your playing career. We were talking about it just off the air moments ago. You got an opportunity at Mizzou to play some big-time opponents in some big-time stadiums.
Yeah, you know, it was, you know, fortunate. And certainly we, in those days, we played in the Big Eight. So we played Nebraska and Oklahoma and Colorado and the schools there. But we also played, you know, at Illinois. We played at Michigan. We played Alabama in Birmingham, as I was telling you before, in 1975. And Missouri still has a overall winning record against Alabama, the only SEC school to do that, by the way.
Bragging rights.
That's it. That's right. Because they play next week, and I mean, I get to brag that much anymore.
Probably not. Alabama looks awfully tough this year. But even back then, the aura around Alabama, did that game have a different feel at the time? Or in the moment, was it just another football game?
No, it wasn't. Yeah. It was not just another, because it was a it was a Monday night game, and you know that was kind of in the beginning of Monday night football, and it was before the NFL season, so they had a college game on Monday night, and of course Bear Bryant was the coach at Alabama, and it was just an amazing situation when we walked into the stadium, because we actually played in Birmingham, not in Tuscaloosa, and Alabama's fans were already in the stadium, you know, 2.5-3 hours before the game, and the Alabama team walked out, and they kind of cheered for him. And then all of a sudden, about 50 yards behind the team, here comes Bear Bryant walking behind the team just by himself. And the stands went nuts. I mean, just cheering for the coach. He was just was like this aura on the field.
To say he was an icon doesn't do him justice.
No,
no.
It's an understatement to icons.
Yes.
Yeah. One question I have. You know, when you played at Litchfield High School and went to the University of Missouri, played these bigger schools, what was it like the first time you played on AstroTurf?
Well, back in those days, AstroTurf was kind of like a pool table.
That's one of the reasons why I asked.
Yeah, it was nowhere near the quality of the stuff that's out there. Now, it was, you know, at first you really got a kick out of it because it was this hard, fast surface. But after you played for 15 minutes, it was like, this isn't really that good. So we all liked the grass fields much better. Because back then, in those days, they had the old tartan field, and they were literally like playing on a pool table.
Now, at Missouri, when you played, it was natural grass, wasn't it?
It was.
Good.
And they've gone from grass to synthetic and back to grass. And
well, now this, I can't recall what it's called.
Field turf.
Field turf. Yeah, it's just about everywhere in the NFL and in the NCAA, too.
Right. In Fort Collins, we have three school fields that have field turf on them, and they get enough use that it actually more than pays for itself.
Tom Cooper joining us here on Sports Saturday, and I imagine you still get a chance to follow Mizzou here as they are in their inaugural season in the SEC, and let's just get your thoughts on Missouri SEC. Is it a good fit? Will it work?
Well, you know, I think the fit is fine, and it'll work. You know, it's a move up from a tradition standpoint. It's a little hurtful because so many of the things that were tradition to my generation and some years after, you know, the Big Eight and the Big 12 has kind of gone by the wayside, and that's too bad. But it's what they call it in Missouri. It's a new era.
Mm-hmm.
Not real fond of the new uniforms. Sorry.
A new era there as well.
But, you know, it is a new era, and they're going to bring a wide-open style of offense to the SEC, and I think that's good for the SEC. Certainly the Texas A&M moved down there. Mm-hmm. And, by the way, if you ever get an opportunity to go to College Station to see a college football game, it is absolutely the greatest place to go see a game.
Raucous, isn't it?
It is awesome.
And that's the thing to me about the SEC is the fans. The stadiums are huge. And down in the South, with there really not being a lot of professional sports, college football, that's the big show. That is the show in town. So to me, I love watching SEC football just because of the passion.
Yeah, it's amazing in that part of the country. I mean, there are places where they live for one football. The Georgia-Florida game is like a week-long party in Jacksonville.
Well, it's, they, what it's, they call it, the, amazing. The world's largest cocktail party, I that think exactly. is what they call exactly. it. So as you look at Missouri here, obviously, are the facilities that Mizzou has now, are those in line with the SEC, or is that something that over the next few years is going to have to be upgraded for Mizzou?
You know, I've had the opportunity to go back over there and look at some of the things, and of course I get all the mailings where they ask for money.
Oh, sure, of course.
Of course. But they've done a wonderful job of upgrading the facilities with their indoor and with their workout facilities. They've modernized the stadium, and they've got it at about 70,000 at Mizzou now. So you think, oh, that's pretty good. But for SEC standards, it's not there yet.
It's small.
And they actually have some phase-in plans to take that stadium to 90,000. You know, I don't know how many of them are really approved. But so they have some pretty big plans. They've built another new basketball arena there. So they're going to walk in basketball and be competitive. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe not with Kentucky, but certainly with everybody else. And, you know, football-wise, they're in the East. I think that's a good thing. They've learned a little bit that when you play the South Carolinas and Georgias, you better bring your lunch pail. But Vanderbilt this week, so we should get a win.
Yeah. Will this help recruiting down the road?
You know, I think it's going to help them in places where they haven't recruited real well in the past. I think, you know, Arkansas, Louisiana, in some of those areas that they haven't really done. The question will be, what happens to Texas? Because they've done pretty well in Texas over the last 5 to 10 years, and so I think that'll be a little curious to see, because obviously Texas more Big 12 home.
Tom, you're a football guy through and through, obviously. You played in college and all the rest. Are you amazed at how big football is in Texas and in Florida at the high school level? I mean, it's incredible.
It is absolutely incredible. I mean, if you've ever driven through Texas and some of these small towns and looked at their football stadiums, it's like, are you kidding? Are you kidding? I mean, here's a town of 25,000, and their football stadium holds 20.
Right.
And it's full. And you have to have season tickets to get in. I mean, it is absolutely phenomenal. The Friday Night Lights doesn't really do it justice.
As a high school kid, could you imagine playing in front of that type of – I mean, as an 18-year-old, to play in front of 20,000 people in high school, that's amazing.
It is amazing, but, you know, I think you're brought up with it.
Right.
I think it's just what's expected. You start going to the games when you're, you know, 4 or 5 years old.
And, probably as soon as you can walk.
You know, and you sit there and you idolize your high school football players. And instead of the professional, I mean, you know who, you know, Billy and Johnny are on this year's football team. And then you know the guys from next year's team. And as a young kid, you idolize them.
Tom, we thank you so much for coming in this morning. We're running out of time, and I guess before we do run out of time, just maybe give us an idea what's on your plate for the future.
You know, the future is watch my granddaughter grow up.
There you go.
That's the biggest part that I'm looking the most forward to. But I don't really have a lot of big plans, you know. Look around and see. I get to go back to Oklahoma games now that my son's coach and he gives me tickets again. So.
And I guess that's the beauty of being retired, huh? You can do whatever you want.
It is the beauty.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Listen, I appreciate it.
Hey, we appreciate you coming in. And have you enjoyed being back in Litchfield for the weekend?
You know, I've loved it. You know, and a lot of good friends here. And it's been wonderful the last day, and looking forward to seeing a lot more people today. And I want to. Again, thank you guys for having me out here today. It's been fun.
Thank you very much for coming out. Tom Cooper, Litchfield graduate, Mizzou alum, good enough to join us here on Sports Saturday. Coming up at 10:04 on AM 1540, we will have high school football for you as Nokomis will play Metro East Lutheran. Broadcast time coming up at 10:04 on AM 1540, and of course streaming online at WSMIRadio.com. The Fighting Illini on the radio this afternoon at Wisconsin, and Mizzou grad Tom says that's not going to end well as Illinois at Wisconsin live coverage coming up 2 o'clock this afternoon here on the Sports Voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI FM 106. Randy, thanks for sticking around.
My pleasure.
That is it. We are out of time. For Tobin, Randy, I'm Tim. Thanks to Tom Cooper for joining us this morning on Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.